This is the PC Gamer Podcast, episode 328 for September 6th, 2012. I'm your host for the third consecutive time, picking up the hat trick, TJ Hafer. And my wingmen today, which are, there's three of them, so I guess I'm some sort of weird three-winged duck or something, are across from me, associate editor Tyler Wilde.
Hi, I'm here. I'll try not to cough.
Editor-in-chief Logan Decker.
How many wings do ducks have? Like two?
We may never know.
I'm going to say two.
But are they Oh, I thought they had like... Isn't there a bird that has more than two wings, but they're like layered?
Maybe.
It's a mystery, Logan. It's a mystery to us.
Are you thinking of Avatar? Because that wasn't real.
Wait, am I just... Seriously, did I just make that up in my head? Aren't there birds that have like four wings, but they fold them?
You're like, talking like a biplane bird kind of scenario?
No, it's just like when they... Yeah, I guess that doesn't make any sense, does it? Then where did I see them?
I don't know.
Jason and the Argonaut? Sorry.
And,
okay, could be.
Yeah, and associate editor Omri Petit.
Hello, everybody.
And we got back from PAX not too long ago. We were drunk on the awesomeness that was PAX, and now we are suffering the subsequent awesomeness hangovers.
There might have been some beer as
well. You know, yeah. Interestingly enough, there wasn't a lot of stuff announced this year, which is, I know I've seen some of you commenting on our articles, like, why haven't we heard more stuff about PAX? Well, it's because a lot of the stuff that was being shown off there we had already covered, you know? So rather than go through a long list of reveals, because there weren't really that many, I'm going to ask each of you, what was the coolest thing you saw at PAX that you expected to see there? What was the coolest thing you saw that you didn't expect to see there? And what is one thing from PAX that you wish you could unsee?
Oh, I see. The eyeballs get all the attention.
Exactly. I'm we need
like a woo.
I'm very sight biased.
We all silently tried to. Well,
that vexed me.
In, but I was vexed, honestly.
In my questions today.
Mission accomplished.
Omri's vexing.
Who wants to go first? It's so much fun.
Not me. I have to think about this.
What about you?
Okay. Well, you guys first? Have had the show notes for like
leaders' rights
2 hours. I don't know. I liked seeing the Evil Geniuses guys were at the Kingston booth doing this thing where they like faced off against fans, and if you beat one of them, you could win like some RAM or something like that. And that was really fun as far as an unexpected thing. I mean, it was my first PAX, so almost everything was unexpected. But they would pull people who were not good at StarCraft and then put some sort of ridiculous restriction on the pro player, like you can only build two kinds of units or something like that. So that was pretty fun to watch and just to hear those guys, you know, joke around.
The caster there was actually even telling the other player what the pro player was doing.
Right, right. The pro would have, like, his noise-canceling headphones on, and the other guy could just, you know, hear.
And they'd
exactly
still get destroyed
right,
repeatedly.
Right, I mean, yeah, EG is pretty good at StarCraft, from what I hear. That's
pretty
the word on the
good.
Street. As far as... I don't know, things that I expected to see that were awesome, I guess I expected... I'd been told for a long time that it's the coolest convention to go to, and it's my first big convention, so I can't really compare it to anything. But that would definitely be what my experience was. I mean, it's very rare that I'm ever in a setting where there are thousands of people, and I am less geeky than the average person who is there. PAX might be one of the only times I have ever experienced that in my life. So...
It's a good experience.
It's fantastic.
A feeling of community with all these people.
Everyone gets together and holds hands and waits in lines for about 5 hours.
Right. And I guess if there was one thing I could unsee, it was all the people in those plush Teemo hats, because I have nightmares about Teemo. Just being killed by a Yordle. There are very few things in life that are worse than that. Especially... I'm talking about League of Legends. I'm getting weird looks from Logan and Tyler. Yeah,
here comes
the
Yordle.
Here comes the lingo.
Word.
Yeah, they're the little
it feels
furry
weird.
Guys.
It kind of like it gets into my stomach and kind of
it does.
They're the little
like
furry.
My heart fluttered a little.
Yeah, they're the little furry gnome cat type dudes in League of Legends.
Gnome cats.
And just since I always play as the guy that has
Yordle.
Like seven.
Stuff
axes.
It. Stop it. You had no right to do that.
You know, I always play as the heroes that have, like, seven axes strapped to their arms or something, and then this little guy with a blowgun comes up to me and, like, half of my health is gone, and then I'm dead. And I was just like, Teemo! So,
What a jerk.
I don't know. Did that give you guys enough time to contemplate and soul search for answers
well,
to these
I'm just going to go ahead and go for it. I'm going to say that the coolest thing I saw at PAX that I expected to see was us. Thank you very much.
We had our answer.
We had our mega panel, and oh boy, what a crowd it was.
Oh, yeah.
You can actually go see it for yourself on the website, pcgamer.com. Just look up mega panel, and we will have the video clip up of the panel, which was about the incredible uncertain future of storytelling. And we had an amazing lineup of folks. We had Dean Rockethall, the creator of DayZ. We had Notch from Minecraft. We had Jake Solomon from XCOM Enemy Unknown, Sean Vanneman from The Walking Dead, and Greg Cassavin of Bastion, all talking about stories and answering questions about stories and how they come up with them and how they're relevant to their games. It was an amazing discussion. And man, did we pack that room or what?
It was nuts.
It was luscious.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
They're right. You know what? PC gamers are beautiful people.
Yeah.
Did you look out there?
All those beautiful faces.
Every single face was beaming. It was very, very, very nice.
It's going to be hard to top that.
So go ahead. Go, take a look at it. It's informative. They're all great speakers, all very thoughtful people. Lots of insight into storytelling and very, very, very much varied perspectives.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you want to see Notch making fun of pretty much everyone on the panel,
yeah,
that's a great time too. That guy has zero filter from head to mouth. He's great.
He was just tossing out snark like throwing knives.
It's fantastic.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out the mega panel on the website. The coolest thing that I didn't expect to see, even though it's been bopping around for a few years now as he's been developing it, but this is the first time I sat down and actually played it. It's called Antichamber. And it is, oh my gosh. Just think of it's a very spare puzzle game, but think of the first time you picked up that portal gun and you're like, okay, what do I do? Okay, there's a portal there, there's a portal there. Okay, I get it. And then remember the very first time you solved a puzzle and you were like, I thought I had it. Now I get it. And that's what the game is like, except you have those moments over and over and over again. I just want to sort of describe the first thing that that I did. And, you know, he sat me down. He's like, okay, just go ahead. There's no instruction. So I'm running toward this giant chasm, and it says jump. And so I jumped, and there's no way I was going to clear it, you know? So I fell into the chasm, and I fell into this corridor, took one of two doors, and ended up where I began. So I tried to jump again, went all the way down, and took the other corridor, ended up where I began. And I'm like, ah! I go over and over and over again, you know, like a crazy person expecting something different to happen. And the developer, his name's Andrew, he said, slow down. Says, you play a lot of shooters, don't
Sounds
you?
I'm like, he whispered that in my ear.
He did. He actually leaned down and he whispered in my ear. He's like, slow down. So I'm like, okay. So I slowed down. I approached the chasm, and little steps are appearing beneath my feet, and I walked across the chasm. You know, I'm like, okay, I gotcha. And then, you know, you go into the next room, and it keeps happening. It keeps anticipating your, you know, what you might do and kind of around on you. And it's just a wonderful feeling, because I felt so helpless trying to get through the game so many times and so completely stupid. But at the same time, what I imagine being a baby is like, you know? You get squeezed out there, and all of a sudden there's bright lights everywhere, and you don't speak the language, you're totally naked, you know? And
we've all been there.
Yeah, and you just start playing around, and you hit things to see what sound they make, and you try walking, and if you fail, you get up and you try again, and, you know, you make sounds, and you try to match the sounds that you hear from your parents, and it's just about experimentation and discovery. And it's exhilarating. You keep playing around, and you get frustrated, and you want to bang on the wall, and you think, just slow down. Take it easy. And then all of a sudden, it just becomes obvious what you're supposed to do. You know?
I'm going to start whispering that in your ear while you're just working on your desk. Logan. Just slow down.
You should sell a plushie that sits on your shoulder and just sort of randomly
gives
says,
you little advice.
Yeah, you know,
out of the office.
Slow down.
We'll just hire people to come up behind him at certain times.
That's what I didn't expect to see, and I guess the one thing that I wish that I could unsee was what was up with the dude who wore the gold lamé sort of bodysuit all the way up to his head.
Oh yeah,
what was that?
And I don't know.
It was horrifying.
It was pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it's just some dude was there like every single day in this gold bodysuit all the way up, but it even covered his head.
So he was like a blinged out Slender Man.
Yeah, and it was a lot to take in. You know, I mean, you're already kind of overstimulated, and that was he was like the Slender Man of PAX.
Yeah,
there were a couple of regular Slender Mans walking around.
Were there? I didn't see Slender Men.
I saw at least one Slender Man.
Oh, that's a good
That might
costume.
Have been the actual Slender Man, though, because he and I hang out sometimes.
Oh, right. He just stands and creepily stares at you. And
right.
It's kind
right.
of a one-sided friendship, really.
Yeah, right.
I'm so glad he's on call for these kind of things.
What's up with that?
Exactly.
I guess I can go. Coolest thing I saw that I expected to see because I made an appointment to see it and then confirmed that appointment was the Oculus Rift.
Ooh.
I've heard so much talk about it. I love huge enthusiast of the potential of VR, I guess. I've always loved talking about it and hearing about it ever since a child in the 80s going into arcades where they had what seemed amazing but were probably terrible virtual reality setups. But the Oculus Rift, I can confirm that it's the real deal. I played on, you know, it was a prototype model. I was playing Doom 3, of course, because that's the first game to support it. And if you don't know, it's a VR headset sort of created by a huge enthusiast who wanted something specifically for gaming with a huge field of vision. And, yeah, it felt weird. Like, they're talking to me while I have it on my head playing, and it felt like these disembodied voices. I sort of forgot I was sitting in this room playing because it felt so weird and crazy. But, yeah, there are some things. It's a prototype model, so they want to increase the resolution, which I think is important. Pixels were a little bit visible. They're a little low resolution right now, but for the consumer model, they do plan to increase that. I also noticed some sort of white glowing lines at the edges of my vision, which, yeah, I presume the consumer model might address that as well. But overall, it was really cool. It was cool and fun and neat.
And didn't you mention that they did intend for the resolution to go up for the consumer version, right?
Yeah, that's just got done.
Did you? Okay, sorry, I was scratching it. Yeah, okay, that was really
yes.
Right.
But that made me
super embarrassing.
Right. That made me happy to hear though. Verify that.
Yes. Very happy. I'm happy too.
Yeah, but it's a cool thing. It is a cool thing that exists in a prototype version. Thing I didn't expect to see that was cool. This is tough. I feel like I had something planned and now my head is all up in the cloud. My head is in cloud storage and I have to somehow access it, but
yeah.
My internet's not working. I saw so much stuff.
A giant gray blob wearing a Panama hat.
I didn't see that.
Oh, okay. I'm just throwing
Did you?
Throwing it, no.
Okay.
But I have.
Be a little worried.
Yeah.
No, I've seen that before.
Okay. Gosh, so much stuff. Antichamber,
anything,
very neat.
Is there anything you wish you could unsee?
Anything I wish I could unsee? I'm sure there are quite a few things I wish I
County
could
jail.
Unsee. Yeah, that was a bummer. That whole thing after that Mojang party and just you having to bail me out was terrible.
Yeah.
I wish I could unread about the situation that occurred at one particular party.
Oh dear,
which I won't get into too much here. That was unfortunate. You know what I wish I could unhear is I know that on the PAX floor we're having fun and it's fun. We're all being loud and we're all seeing games and playing games and having fun. But the booths were in order to do a raffle or a giveaway, they get a bunch of people together and make them scream.
Oh, yeah.
In order to potentially win. It's like,
this is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Now I actually can't hear myself trying to talk to someone about their game because you have a crowd of like 50 people screaming at you to win something.
So. Let's not.
Yeah, and on Sunday morning, especially, you know, after the previous night, there was a lot of dev parties going on, and I'm like walking through the Firefall Bloof with like doom, 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 and there's like strobe lights flashing in my face, and people are screaming about Warface or something, and I'm like, just someone shoot me now.
Well, I understand it's supposed to be a, you know, it's a loud, jovial, fun time, and it's not a good place to be when you have a headache. You probably shouldn't be there if you have a headache. But also, we don't have to encourage, like, the insane screaming, because people really want free stuff.
Yeah.
So they will scream as loud as they possibly can.
It's true. Cool. Well, I guess it's my turn. My PAX experience was actually quite different from everyone else's here. I was part of the Enforcer volunteer team, helping out behind the scenes, over the scenes, and on the scenes with managing and running the show.
Did you get to body check anybody?
I got to stare down people. But any kind of physical contact was severely frowned upon, at least while they were looking.
You didn't get to break up any big fights? Anyone have an argument over...
All those fun times are the expo volunteers get to have. I was actually up in the free play areas helping dispensing games and fun times for people. And it's really fun. It's sort of like a little annual tradition I've had just to join up with the Enforcers and... see PAX from a different perspective. Of course, I did get to walk around on the show floor for quite a while, and I did see some cool things. Probably the coolest thing I saw that I expected was probably Dishonored.
Yeah.
I was really happy to actually get some time on that, even though it was on the console. But... it was still amazing, and really what I'm looking forward to was just great multi-path stealth assassination first-person gameplay, which all those adjectives just make me melt and you know, make me very, very excited for this game, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more of it. What else? The coolest thing that I didn't expect to see... there's actually probably a number of these, but if I'd had to boil it down, I'd say that right behind one of the, I do believe it was the XCOM booth, there was a tiny little booth along the walls there, you know, those little magical places that you can find treasures without the lions and the banshee whales and everything else that we're all complaining about. There was one for Loadout, which is this very interesting sort of third-person fast-paced, cartoony, stylized shooter, multiplayer shooter, with the added, this very heavy emphasis on customizing your weapon, like with some kind of crazy intricacy level like Borderlands. You can go down to the, you know, the clip, the barrel, the underbarrel, the paint, the paint's paint, you know, all of that, and it's really cool, and you can load up tons and tons of effects and whatnot on your guns, and it's really funny because the violence and stuff sort of kind of over the top like Team Fortress 2. And so it's if you take damage, for example, your leg will start showing damage all the way down to the bone and you'll start flopping blood skin flaps all over the place. And
well, that's disgusting.
I like skin flaps.
Yeah. Pro
Who
skin
here
flap.
Doesn't like skin flaps?
Pro flap.
I don't know. I'm on the fence about skin flaps.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of a flip-flopper.
I'm trying to drown out TJ here.
Okay, really go right in.
Okay. But a close second would probably have to be TJ's masterful rendition
of
Everlong.
I knew this
that
was
came
up
very late at night when inhibitions come down and creativity comes up. I was actually supervising a rock band theater that was across the way from the show floor in a small little cafe nook. And we set up a rock band stage there with TVs, and anybody can come up there and play and form impromptu bands and have fun and sing away. And at the very end of the night, when we were about to close off, TJ just sent us home with this amazing, amazing Everlong.
I thought that was going to be your thing you wish you could unsee.
I had scribbled it down here, but I actually drew an arrow moving it up one notch.
Okay, I appreciate
that. I thought about it some more. And
that's moving.
That's really sweet.
It really is.
I will, given an audience and some alcohol, I will rock some Foo Fighters. I have been known, so.
You'll never be able to unsay that.
I will rock
some Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Hey.
That's fantastic.
I have no qualms.
No, stand proud.
Yep.
So
loud. Absolutely.
Is there anything you would unsee other than that potential entry?
Other than that, I'd probably say, I mean, I did check out Last of Us, which looks interesting, but I'd unsee it because if every time I look at it, I get really depressed. And it's something I really didn't need while under the enormous enforcer pressures of the day. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go check out, you know, some guy try and scrap a living out of a ruined total city. And, oh, hey, look, Walking Dead booth. Yeah, let's go check that out. And, oh, look, they're giving away hot dogs encased in hands and
that
legs.
Was trippy.
Yeah.
That was weird. That was really
They
trippy.
Ran out of those so fast. They were gone.
So you saw people walking around and, like, they had prosthetic hands, but attached to like chicken legs, so it looked like people were eating the meat off the hand. And the thing here's the really screwed up thing about it is that somebody could have been walking the floor, eating a real human hand.
Absolutely, probably were.
And you just walk by, going, "Oh man, that's gross, man." But no, in fact, somebody is like in one of the bathroom stalls, going, you know, with a ball gag or something in his mouth, and like with just one arm taped,
leaking blood.
Yeah,
covert cannibalism.
You know what I mean? That's like, how would you know?
It's terrible.
So anyway. You heard it here. If you ever want to eat a human hand in public, PAX is the place.
That's
to
right.
Anyway, there was quite a bit of non-PAX news that has come out since it's actually been a couple weeks since we last podcasted. One of the MMO genre's mainstays, City of Heroes, is reportedly going to be closing its servers in the very near future. City of Heroes, it's a game I played a fair bit of, actually. It came out in like the same wave as WoW, like that 2004-2005 time frame, and this news frankly surprised me. You know, it's been around forever. I didn't even know they were having problems.
It's a sad face. Is it confirmed that they're shutting it down, or is that sort of a rumor? Or
it's
assumed?
It's that's what the studio, Paragon Studios, is saying. There is a group of players who are going to try to petition in game to save it. I don't know how successful that'll be necessarily.
Right.
But as of now, what we've heard is that it is going to be shutting down. I think they said by the end of the year.
Yeah.
I fielded a lot of cries of agony from PAX, from people who were very upset about it.
Yeah. It looks like the petitioner, though, from what I read, is doing it right, as far as I can tell, saying, you know, don't make this angry. Do it for the right reasons.
Keep it lighthearted.
Be nice. Because, you know, we all know how people can get sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
It can be bad.
And the in-game rally looks to be gaining a lot of excitement. There's a lot of buildup over it, and the post we threw up today has some details on that if you want to check it out. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot. The community's coming out pretty strongly on this.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be sad to see it go, even though I haven't actively played in a long time. I think it's probably one of the better, if not the best, superhero MMO, maybe up there with DC Universe, that has come out. So that will be a great loss to the MMO community, for sure. On a slightly more upbeat note, the StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm beta has gone live. There's no NDA on it. I've been watching the streams. I finally got a chance to jump into some matches today. Any of you guys been checking out, you know, the coverage of that so far?
I've been hearing some faint echoes of the lamentations of people trying to tussle with the new units.
Yeah.
So I've heard, especially from certain people in the office here as well.
Some people that sit across from you and go, "Oh man, that was bull. What the hell?"
Yeah.
Yeah. So swarm hosts are, I'll censor myself, bull beep. So Swarm hosts are one of the new Zerg units that they just spawn an infinite number of these little locust guys that just kill all your people and are unkillable. So, you know, that's fair. That seems balanced to me. You know, just infinite number of unkillable guys that kill all your guys.
Probably sure. More infuriating are those, I still can't remember their names.
The Vipers?
There we go.
Right.
Those things.
They can, like, yank your units into the mass of the Zerg swarm.
Beautiful. Well, this is what betas are for, right?
Right, long right. Warhounds, I'm a Terran player for those who are just now joining us. Warhounds are really good. The new Terran mech unit are actually really, really good. There's kind of a meme going on that, you know, Terran in Heart of the Swarm, victory is largely based on whether you build Warhounds or not. So I've won some matches with those guys. It's got a fair ways to go from my perspective. I guess you guys can't really, you know, back me up on that. But yeah, there's some balance issues they need to work out. But the new units are interesting for the most part. And I trust that Blizzard will kind of see the things that have come out of this that are either skewing matches or making them less interesting and work to fix those. They're pretty good about that. Yeah. So up next on the Only TJ Talks show.
I'm enjoying it.
Recently, the Middle Earth role-playing mod for Skyrim was given served right. A cease and desist?
Well, I mean, it wasn't official, so they weren't served. But they were sent by a lawyer from Warner Brothers who has the rights to Lord of the Rings games.
Right.
A note saying, hey, you know, maybe don't do this.
It wasn't even really a maybe. It was like, well, yeah, you're going to have to take out all of these trademark names.
I might have seen the word demand
right.
in there used
a couple
times.
I think they want something to happen.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because it's a nonprofit mod that's looking to create like Middle Earth that you can actually walk around in Skyrim. And WB is saying that this is infringing on their trademark and are basically just telling them, no, you need to stop, like,
right.
Not giving them another option.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, as much as we love, like, fan-made mods, I just wanted to clarify something. So I saw in a lot of the comments people saying, like, but they're not going to make a profit off of it. That's not copyright infringement. Well, it is. And it is trademark and copyright infringement.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, WB has every right to protect that, even if... They're going to give it away for free. And then when they kind of change to we're not going to give it away at all. We just want to post screenshots to get developers and it'll be an internal project. WB was kind of like, no, we don't like that either. Well, WB can't actually stop them if they do it quietly and privately. You can draw the fan art you want or make mods amongst yourself. But, you know, I'm not taking sides here because it's really sad and I would like to have seen it happen. But, you know, to be fair, WB does have a right to do that. And when it comes to trademarks, if you don't defend them, you can lose them. You know, that there
use
is
it or lose it.
The interesting
there is that if you don't use your trademark and if you don't defend your trademark, then someone right. could say, hey, we've been using the names of Lord of the Rings characters and no one said anything. Like, well, you know, what are we supposed to do? And then a court could say, you're right. It's okay.
The interesting thing is that there is precedent for people making fan-made mods like this and it not really getting shut down. I mean, if you remember, I mean, even going all the way back to the Battlefield 2 days, there was a really good Star Wars mod, it might have even been 1942. It might have been even earlier than that. That was basically just a total Star Wars conversion. It was kind of Star Wars Battlefront before Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
And, you know, that didn't get shut down. I think that's part of the reason a lot of people are annoyed
about
this.
Well, unfortunately, there's also a lot of precedent for stuff that does get shut down.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. Fan-made games. You know, certain companies are more active than others about telling people, you know, like Valve doesn't really go and stop people from making, you know, we have like, what, Black Mesa. That kind of thing, you know, not a peep. That's great. That's great that they let their fans do that, but not everyone has in the past, and there are plenty of stuff has been. So, I don't know. I don't think this sets a precedent. It's kind of par for the course for this kind of thing. Some get noticed and shut and, you know, sent to cease and desist. Others get through.
Right. Yeah. You'd said it's earlier shame, that Warner Brothers has a right to defend, you know, its trademark, but actually, like you said afterwards, they have an obligation to do so.
Right.
Otherwise, they could lose it. And it is possible for companies to license at no charge their properties, but we don't know, you know, what other obligations they have on those properties. Maybe they don't own it in full. Maybe some of those characters are owned by other companies or licensed from other companies that they don't have the right to give away.
Right. They may have an agreement that says we can only allow so many Lord of the Rings games per year or something. And they might actually be obligated to stop it. You know, we don't know.
And it sounds like a kind of, you know, a D move at the beginning, but maybe they have plans to do something similar and then they don't want this other group to go, hey, we're doing that already, or you copied our idea. It's just, it's such a thorny thicket to walk into. And, you know, the trademark holder usually looks pretty bad. And I personally think, you know, you'll probably do a lot better encouraging that kind of stuff, you know, because you create more demand for your work. But it's if a company stands its ground, there's probably a good reason for it, because these people aren't, you know, they're not dumb, and they know what makes their product more valuable, you know. But there's a lot of stuff when you're a big company that's involved, and you know, it just sort of happens like that sometimes. So. It's hard to know exactly why they had to shut it down.
Right.
You could try and circumvent it by, like, tweaking a letter here or that. Right. Just Upper Earth, Froyo's Adventure.
Right. But also, there's this, and I don't want to sound like, you know, like, I think it's great what they did, but there's always this option. Before you start, and you put so much of your time and effort into this, you know, or once you realize that it's becoming a really, really big project, ask the company first. Before you do it, before the heartbreak hits you, you know, it's like 2-3 years of work behind it, and you're like, ah.
And it was getting big.
Yeah,
they were actually constructing a pretty, like,
well, it was
one-to-one. Yeah,
it was
replica.
An Oblivion.
It's been quite a long time in the making, and so for something so big, you know, just as Logan just said, it'd be great if they had checked first.
Right,
definitely asked and made sure.
Yeah,
because they have amazing assets so far and amazing work going into it. I mean, they had released a height map video showing how far up their mountain ranges went, and it's just absolutely astounding how big those maps are getting.
Yeah, I believe there is, much like City of Heroes, there is a petition to save this as well. So
indeed,
if you feel strongly that the Middle Earth mod should be made, you can make your voice known to WB, and we will have that link in the show notes as well.
Very good. And, you know, sort of being in the center of it, where, you know, it's a big bummer, but I don't want to, like, jump down anyone's throat. If you do petition WB, you are asking them, hey, can these people continue to use this? So no need, you know. I saw some of the comments are, you know, reactionary, of course, being like, gov, screw that company, they're money grubbing. Yeah, we don't know the whole story, so, you know, asking nicely always works better.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Right. So Steam Greenlight, which we've been talking about quite a bit lately, you know, being Steam's new system where you can submit a game and the community votes on whether they want it in the Steam store or not, has implemented a $100 fee to curtail a lot of fake kind of troll submissions and things like that that were making their way into the system. What do you guys think about that?
It's paywalls.
I think it's great, because what they're asking for, I mean, it's, I don't, you know, obviously it's not to raise a huge lump of cash.
It's going to charity.
I hear that Valve has some money already.
I think a little.
And what they're asking is, okay, this is the way you prove that you're serious. Because we want Greenlight is a serious project for serious games. I mean, not, you know, serious, but, you know, in the sense that this is for quality games. And it's not for jokes. It's not for trolling. So, you know, this is the way you filter things out automatically. Mm-hmm. It's because trolls aren't going to want, you know, they may even go so far as to, you know, throw in 20, 25 bucks or something, but I doubt anyone's going to do something faked or on a lark or whimsically for $100.
Yeah, even for a system as Greenlight, which Valve takes very seriously, there's always going to be people a little irresponsibly using it, and so this is just a very good way of diminishing that kind of...
The response was interesting, I think, from the community and the development community. A lot were like, yeah, that's fine. $100, but some kind of had weird arguments I didn't quite get that, like, oh, what about those developers who just don't, you know, don't have that? You don't know what kind of financial situation
I've seen that a lot.
They're in, and I'm kind of like, if you're really serious, as serious about this game, like, my game should be on Steam, you know, and Steam has pretty high-quality catalog. You should have $100 to spare, and if you can't raise $100...
You'll a lot for it then, way in advance.
You know, if you go to Kickstarter and only ask for $100 and your game's that good, you should be able to earn it.
Yeah, that's like if you have, you know, four people on your development team, you're each pitching in $25.
And remember, they're doing this... and this is my perspective. I sound like I'm going to sound like an apologist here, but they're not doing this for Valve. They're doing it for gamers because, and this is why I say that. Imagine, now this isn't the case with every state, but it's true in California. Imagine if anybody at any time could submit an initiative for the ballot.
Right.
You know, there's almost 30 million people in this state. And if anyone could do it, you'd see tens of thousands of proposals on your ballot. It would be like a phone book, you know, every couple of years. And so they're like, no, we don't want to do that because that would render your ballot useless. You'd never open it. Nobody would, you know? So what they do is they say, okay, you have to get this percentage of signatures in order to qualify. And that means, okay, that's how we determine that, A, you're serious and this just isn't a troll proposal, and do you have the support, right? So, you know, like Tyler said earlier, you know, you can raise a buck from 100 people and, you know, just to say, yeah, there is some demand for this game out there.
And there are actually, I've seen multiple outlets that are offering to loan people that $100 if you can actually come to them and show them that you are developing a game and they think you're legit.
Right.
So, you know, that option is definitely out there and will probably continue to be out there, I would think.
So I see this as great. I see it as protecting gamers, not trying to hurt them.
Yeah. When I browse Greenlight, I want to see people who are super serious about their game. And yeah, I do have a hard time feeling you're super serious if you can't come up with $100.
It's a good commitment.
Yep. Speaking of Greenlight, there was somewhat of a controversy recently when a game called Seduce Me was removed by Valve. It is a game that does contain some explicit sexual content.
Some.
And the developers were concerned because they felt like this was censorship on Valve's part. They didn't even wait to let the community upvote it or downvote it. They just kind of pulled it for objectionable content. Mm-hmm. Some of the arguments I saw were, you know, Steam is on the internet, it's a global community, and they felt Valve might be cleaving too closely to kind of the American taboo against nudity and things like that, as opposed to, you know, Europe and some other parts of the world. What did you guys feel about this?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts. For one thing, I think it's good to clarify that it's not just there's nudity in this game. It's not like between the sheets, Mass Effect style sex scenes.
Right,
some nudity.
It's graphic.
Yeah,
like they're on their website. The game is all about seduction, and on their website there are some screens where, you know, they blurred it out for the screenshots, but there's some pretty serious things
there
going
are,
on.
Yeah, I think it took TJ a while to sift through appropriate photos for that post today.
It was actually Tyler's job.
Or Tyler, yeah.
Most of them were just like, you're talking to girls or whatever. There were a couple. But, you know, this kind of goes back to the $100 thing. Like, I don't have a problem with Valve doing this because I think some people are maybe misinterpreting Valve's message with Greenlight and taking it like all or nothing. We're like, oh, you're giving power to us to decide what's in Steam. No, it is still Valve's service, and they can kind of decide what they want to sell in their store and what they don't want to sell in their store. And they also don't have anywhere to put it. They don't have an 18-plus section. Like, they would need to build that because right now, there's nothing to stop a kid from getting some Steam cash. And you can make the argument like, oh, it's hypocrisy because then what? Kids can buy violent stuff but not sexual stuff. Like, it's just a reality that hypocrisy exists.
And some people were talking about age gates, but the problem is you don't need to go through an age gate to get onto Greenlight, and Valve is not monitoring every proposal sent into Greenlight to put an age gate on it.
Right.
So yeah. I think that was probably one of their major concerns with this particular.
And you can sell your game where you want. Yeah.
Right. You know.
Exactly.
I have also. If this is a little pet peeve, I just want to sort of make the point over and over again that Valve can't censor anybody. Only the government can censor. But that's censorship is when the government says you can't say that. you know. But I do get the use of the word here, you know. Yeah. It's sort of figurative, and but still, let's just be clear that it's Valve's joint, you know, and Valve can do whatever it wants, and they can delete content and they can add content. And what they're doing is they're saying, this is the kind of place we want, you know. And Apple does the same thing. They said, you know, Steve Jobs said, you know what, if you want porn, no problem, go to Android. He was absolutely explicit about it because he says, I just don't want that kind of environment. And the thing is parents right now, well, as far as the nudity and sex issue goes, not so much for violence, but parents don't have to worry about what's on Steam, what's my child going to be exposed to if he downloads his client. You know, it's just that's not what they want to be doing. And like Tyler said, and I think this is the absolute key issue here, you can sell it anywhere, you know. And you don't, there's no intrinsic right to have this platform to sell a game, you know, with nudity and sex on Steam just because it's ubiquitous. But yeah, you can sell it anywhere. And if it's good, you know what? You'll make a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's fun and entertaining and, you know, gushy, you can
slow down, Logan.
Better. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
thank you. I just need a little speed bump. Perfect. Okay. All right.
No, but yeah, it does all this green light stuff does sort of serve to remind us. Oh dear. Oh my goodness.
We've broken the podcast.
It serves to remind us that we very often love what Valve does. We care about them. You know, I don't want to sound like an apologist or a cheerleader, but like what this stuff does is remind us that it's their service, you know, they're a company and they're not always gonna do everything that we want. We can't just tell them to do something and they're going to do it. It's not how it works. They own it. And
yeah, just look at Half-Life 3.
Right, exactly. I keep telling them.
I'd like to look at Half-Life 3. Where is it?
But, you know, like, there haven't been many situations where we've been, like, up in arms about Steam or Valve.
Not recently, anyway.
No, not
when
recently.
It started.
But there certainly could be, and they have every right to make whatever decisions they do. And it's like, we have to remember that, like, they're not our buddies who just, like, give us whatever, you know, they're a company making money, doing things the way they want to.
They're but a guy,
also,
Neo.
This is the awesome thing about the PC, is that unlike the consoles, you can sell this anywhere.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So you've got the option of Steam, you know, of that experience, or you can download stuff from, you know, stuff people coded at home, or raunchy stuff that, you know, came from Japan or wherever, you know, or hentai.
Not that a lot of that comes from there or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
I wouldn't know.
You know, I mean, but we can have it all. Guess. We can have anything we want on our PCs because that's our platform. There's nobody, you know, saying you can't run that on your PC.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the fact is, if you're kind of fringe, if you're not too mainstream, you're making sort of a game about seduction and sex. Like, yeah, you aren't going to be on the main platforms. The great thing about the PC is that we have these other cultures and communities and sub, you know, sites and places to sell things. I don't know. I just think it's kind of, it felt to me a little bit obvious that Valve would be like, we don't know about this. But I don't know. What did you guys?
Yeah, but also, I mean, if it's out there and you really want it, you can get it. There's just so many different ways of acquiring it. And I mean, Valve wouldn't have permitted such a game to appear even before Greenlight. That was probably still their kind of action going forward. And I mean, I don't know. Like, as I said, I think I said earlier today in one of our conversations was that when I think of Valve, I don't exactly think of family values. I think more like of them trying to empower gamers with, you know, the kind of things we expect Valve to do, but you know, as you guys said, it's really up to them at the end of the day to see what they want to feature and want to host and whatnot. But yeah, that's just my take on it.
Yeah, and I mean, I spoke earlier about, you know, the problems with age gating and stuff like that, and not being really able to age gate, you know, stuff when it's submitted to Greenlight because they don't monitor all of it. I definitely would agree with the people that are like, well, Valve makes Team Fortress 2 where you can explode and have an arrow pointing to your spleen, which is on the screen, and oh, that's supposedly worse than watching people have sex, which, you know, is an American point of view, definitely. So I see that side of it, but yeah, end of the day, Valve can do what they want. It's their service.
Well, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I think there's an argument to be made against the cultural sort of hypocrisy that comes with
that's
sexual
course,
violence.
Of course. There's, it's definitely.
Yeah. I mean, Valve isn't responsible for that culture, but it is a part of it. And yeah, I mean, we have known Valve to push boundaries and stuff, so maybe this is something they will at some point when they have, you know, or maybe they won't, or maybe they won't touch it. I don't know. Definitely, every time I've traveled to Europe, TV is way much more fun, and broadcast TV.
Yeah.
Oh man. The stuff they get away with, you would never get away with in America.
Oh man.
You turn on the TV at 11 o'clock and it's just like, whoa. That's ridiculous. And then they're way stricter about violence, like you see in Germany with games.
Especially Germany.
Being changed. You know, you know, I don't want to generalize, not everywhere in Europe necessarily is, but it is an interesting difference and like something culturally that I hope is addressed over time.
But yeah, we shouldn't harpoon Valve over a greater
for being a part of the culture,
right? Yeah. A greater cultural kind of hypocrisy thing going on.
Quick thought experiment, very quickly.
Okay.
What's a good? I'm trying. Okay, so that's the cultural thing is an explanation for you know the decision. But what would be a good argument for in favor of putting it on the service? That isn't just, you shouldn't be doing this or that. You know, what's a pro argument for putting Seduce Me, that particular game, which is kind of raunchy, has raunchy bits.
Yeah.
I'm slowing down.
There's some raunchiness.
So what would be a good argument to say, no, actually, you'd do better putting that on your service?
I think that to some, at least, it would demonstrate more of an international perspective on Valve's part, you know, since, you know, they already allow levels of violence that are sometimes frowned upon outside the U.S. If they also said, okay, and we're also going to allow some of this content that is more frowned upon in the U.S. than it is in other parts of the world.
Right.
You know?
I think good argument for it. It's a totally different kind of genre than what kind of exists on Valve.
Right.
Well, I mean, it looks, I'm speculating based on the image, it looks kind of like a little bit like a dating sim.
It looks like an R-rated visual novel or an NC-17 rated visual novel.
So,
I guess that's
interesting. I think Valve probably sees it as, what do we just open the floodgates for every, you know,
of course,
erotic
kind of
game.
Yeah, you know, in trying to think of a good argument, I actually just thought of another good argument why not to.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because, you know, I'm not, it's, I know how weaselly this is going to sound, but I'm not that PC a person, but women have to deal with enough already as gamers, you know? And the, it's, let's face it, the game is aimed at men, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, so you have to deal with that as well. It's just like, is this really, is this what we want to be associated with?
Yeah, going into the Steam store and seeing, you know, hundreds of dating simulators and things would... Yeah, that would feel out of place. Like that does not feel like the kind of content.
Unless you build a very separate section for it and make sure
it'd have
you
to be
throw up tons
of sectioned off,
notices.
And then that makes it weirder. Then that makes it like the behind curtains part of the video
going
store.
In, yeah.
That everyone wants.
The
know,
dusty, creepy part of the
that
video
all the kids
store.
Want to peek into because they know they're not supposed to. And then I feel like, no, it just doesn't feel Steam-y, which is why maybe it's not the platform for this.
The next generation is going to have no idea when they unearth this podcast what you meant by that section of the video store.
Video store.
What is he talking about? There was a section where there are naked people in there?
Yeah.
What were they doing?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Yeah. Is that where the store comes from?
Wow. What would necessitate
video
curtains?
Stores.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic.
So that was a failed thought experiment. But oops.
No, it wasn't at all, because I absolutely think, like, yeah, I mean, you can say, like, culturally,
lots of pros and cons
the U.S. is so prude. You could say that, but, you know, there are totally other reasons, actually.
Yeah.
That very good reasons.
Right.
Definitely.
Sex and video games. Tell us your thoughts. Anyway.
Yeah, actually do. I'd love to hear more opinions. Call in, and, you know, we'll have the number at the end of the podcast. Call us and tell us what you think.
Topic.
Totally. Because I don't have any
problem. Try to keep it compact and brief, like, you know, under 20, 30 seconds, and we'll be able to play more of them. But yeah, just briefly summarize why you would be pro or con.
Right.
Bonus points if you finish off with a Logan slowdown.
I reined it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, for playlists this week, let's go around the table this way. Omri, what have you been playing?
I've been binging a little bit more on MMOs. I've jumped back into WoW. There's for pre-pandemonium. Thank you, Logan.
If WoW asks about me, tell her that I didn't even mention her.
Ooh.
Recall I broke up.
I had to repeat your name 4 or 5 times before she remembered you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've been trying that out. Been checking out the new talent system, the complete overhaul of everything. Just seeing how that works. Got into the PlanetSide 2 beta. And that's been amazing and also amazingly confusing because whenever I spawn, I have no idea what's going on and there are symbols and flashing lights and arrows flying into my face.
Which faction do you play?
I am the Terran Republic.
I can live with that.
Yes.
The correct answer is actually NC, but if you had said Vanu, we would have had a problem.
I might go NC, but I don't have any problem with the Vanu.
I'm allergic to purple.
I hate lasers, as I've said on multiple podcasts.
We discussed this. You're going to hate them even more when they hit your face.
Yes.
From my laser rifle. So, just so you know.
Yeah. Also, of course, Guild Wars 2.
Yes.
Said that like Guild Wars 2.
And of course.
Guild Wars 2. I'll make up for his lack of enthusiasm.
Well, actually, not that much of Guild Wars 2 because I've actually been feeling quite overwhelmed with just the sheer amount of things you can do and see inside the game.
There's a lot to do.
Yeah, and I've actually not left the starting area yet. And I think I'm nearing level 10 or something. I'm not sure what the level range is for the starting area, but it's just crazy that every time I turn around, there's some kind of, oh, look at this. There's a farmer who's getting killed by squirrels. And, oh, look at this. There's a, you know.
Oh, you want to go mine some ore? Well, there's a frost dragon destroying the town. So you go ahead. You go ahead and keep mining that ore while these people die in pain.
You stay
put. Yeah. No, I'm not pressuring you. I'm just saying they're all going to die to this frost dragon if you don't stop mining.
I open up the
right
map
now.
And I zoom out and I see the lovely terrain that awaits me. And then I zoom back in and I see about 4 or 5 different circles on my radar and 4 or 5 different symbols. And I'm like, oh, I am never, ever leaving. But anyway, how about you, Logan?
I finished the episode 3 of The Walking Dead.
Oh,
dear. Oh.
Wait, why are you guys owing? I haven't played it. What's going on, guys?
It's just, you just keep taking a beating, man.
Yeah, it is the most emotionally excruciating 2 hours of gaming I think I've experienced in a long time.
I'm not going to, no spoilers or anything, but, you know, I mean, you chop a lot of onions.
Yeah, it's dusty room material.
We joked about it after episode 1 that it was really just like a punch in the gut every time one of these decisions, but now it's actually getting to the point where I'm like, it's making me put off playing it because I'm like, I don't think I'm in good enough a mood.
No, it made me wish I had met Sean Vanaman after I played the episode just so I could, like, elbow him in the intestines and be like, you see how that feels? Does that feel good?
Plus, they're, you know, it's, they're, oh, God, how do I say this without a spoiler? Just randomly sort of, I had this sort of connection with a character and that character is gone.
I know exactly the one you're talking about. Yeah,
and the feeling of it has actually changed for me. I want to play it less because I invested so much in that character for no particular
exactly
reason.
The same way. I know exactly who you're talking about.
It's kind of a very interesting
that
effect.
is the only. It starts with F and ends with D. That's just like
that's really interesting because you know, invoking these emotions with storytelling is kind of a new thing gaming is exploring. Mm-hmm. You know, it hasn't been quite as emotional up until, I would say, you know, contemporary past, 6, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's an interesting thing to explore. Like, can you go too far to the point that people are turned off of your game because they're upset?
Now, on the other hand, I will continue to play, not just because, you know, of my job, but I will because they gave me that character, you know? They did a great job, and it's still a world I want to explore. But man, they had the brass to do what they knew. Like, you know, TJ, you said you're right there, right? They you know they knew it. What
yeah.
And is, well, might this turn people off? Well, maybe, but you know what? That's the story. And, that's life.
Yeah, and
you know,
and then they put a decision to you right after that, where you can actually make a very vengeful decision based on that happening, which was also very interesting. So,
It makes me want to play less. It makes me think more of the developer.
Right.
And I'm sure I'll pick up on another character, but...
But exactly. Yeah. They gave you that one, so you're kind of looking forward to, all right, well, what are you going to give me next? Are you going to rip it away from me?
Yeah, right. But it's still... But, you know, but I still have those connections to the other characters. So it is just... It's a game that there's a reason why people love it, despite everything it's doing to us. Because it's working. And
cool.
And this is the... And it's not... I want to be clear that it's not just Telltale. You know, they've built on... You know, decades of experience that developers have been experimenting, seeing what works and what doesn't. But, you know, Telltale's the one that really, they carried the baton across, you know, the finish line. That was a horrible metaphor, sorry. But, you know, they're the ones that are really making that last step to create this sort of game literature, I guess.
Just lasting memories of
people remembering
things.
And what's cool is that they're using this sort of what's considered an older structure, the adventure game, to do like really innovative new things. And that's cool.
the brilliance and elegance with which they are doing what I thought was impossible and in a hopeless way of pursuing stories, which is the branching storylines. Oh, because it just spirals out of control. But they're able to guide, you know, the branches just so that you never see them. You know, you're never aware of the choices. Well, I mean, you're seldom aware of the choices that you didn't have or you couldn't take.
Right.
You know, and you just know, like, what you did. And, you know, and I took the left branch instead of the right branch.
It makes me want to replay episode 3 just on a future playthrough just to see if I could have saved more people.
Because right.
it might have been that I just totally screwed up, but a lot of people died.
Right.
So, yeah.
So other than that, I've been on a weird... inexplicable sci-fi kick. I've been reading science fiction constantly, and I started another playthrough of Mass Effect 3. I didn't finish Resonance, the adventure game, so I'm finishing that now as well. It's just anything science fiction, I'm just all of a sudden all grabby on. Even Space Chem, I started playing that again. I actually ran into the guy who made Space Chem at PAX, and he had a paper version of Space Chem.
Oh, neat.
That kind of, that's when I found it came with his limited edition that was on Kickstarter, and he may actually produce some more, and that would be amazing.
Very cool.
You'll know on PCGamer.com if that happens. But yeah, he's it's everything science fiction. I don't know why. It's just one of those moods.
I can already hear Tyler sniffing over there.
What? Sorry. Yeah, I'm
lay it on us.
No, I'm on a kick too, science fictiony. But I am playing Guild Wars 2 because. I'm playing Guild Wars 2.
Guild Wars 2. I'm gonna counter every.
I'm enjoying it. I think it's technically a pretty cool achievement. I don't know. I guess I have the same problem with it that I have with a lot of MMOs. First of all, I've made and remade characters so long that like I've played for a long time, but I only have one character at like level.
You're one of those
10.
People.
I went with Thief eventually. Thief is my favorite class by far. There's a lot of mobility.
Same here.
Really fun class. But, you know, cool that I'm out in the world and there are these world events where it's like, an escaped cow is rampaging or bandits are attacking this. I'm like, that's a cool thing to put in, but I still feel like it's a theme park because the next time I go outside, that same cow is doing it again and the same bandits are attacking the same farm forever to infinity. They will continue to run at this farm and get killed by players. And it just like...
That's haunting.
It requires you to move quickly through the areas to preserve the suspension of disbelief.
Exactly. And I can't move that quickly through. I mean, there's a lot to do and I got a level and I'm doing my story quests and even though I'm going to them at the level... It recommends. I'm getting the floor wiped with me on some of them, and I'm like, oh man. So now I have to go grind a little bit, find some better equipment. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just not good at it because some of my story quests are just like they just start throwing gangsters at me, and I just get destroyed.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a steeper learning curve than other MMOs, I've noticed. Yeah.
But, you know, I still get the sense that, like, nothing in this world is simulated at all. It's all sort of, you know, it kind of does everything for you. Crafting is put this here, make boots, this here, make some more boots, get experience. And I understand that that's like an RPG style, a construct that a lot of people really like. You know, for me, you know, I would like a little more mystery in the inner work. I don't know. I guess just a little more simulation, so I feel like I can try things and see what happens. But really, I know the response, the effect of every, you know, all of my abilities and actions, and I just, I don't know. It isn't like working with players, working with other players. I'm kind of working with them when we do the world events. Like, we're all there. We're all fighting, you know, these mobs. We're not really communicating in any meaningful way. It's not like I don't want to always bring it back to DayZ as being like this paragon of amazing experiences, but, you know, it's not like a situation where another player, I feel, really is going to affect me. I think I would get more out of it maybe if I went with friends and did some group stuff.
Have you done any world versus world PvP yet?
I have not done PvP yet. I was kind of waiting to get a better feel before I went in there and got yelled at by people.
That's where you'll kind of have those DZ-type experiences.
I can imagine that it's more there. I also feel weird about that being a separate thing. It's like, I don't know. I guess I have a trouble. It makes it feel, again, more like a theme park where I'm waiting to go on rides. Like, do I want to go on the PvP ride and wait in that queue, or do I want to go on the, you know, sort of, you know, world events and story, personal story quest sort of rides and do those, which is okay because a lot of people really like that. I'm just having trouble. I'm having trouble with it. I'm like, I really just wanted to like create my own story and just be like, I'm going to be a tailor and that's all I'm going to do and it's going to be great. But I'm kind of finding like, no, the game will guide you to doing the things that it wants you to do. And I can't just, you know, I can't just be like, I'm just going to go explore this. And like, then suddenly the enemies are so high level, they kill me instantly, and I'm like, oh.
That's not good.
I'm not allowed to go over there yet. I have to stay here and do all of the things that are laid out for me to do. But I want to go over there, you know? So, I don't know. The style of game maybe just isn't for me. Like I said, it's beautifully crafted, you know? Like, there's so much to love about it from sort of an objective perspective for me. Mm-hmm. I'm just having trouble. I got to keep playing it, and I got to do some PvP.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised because I have been loving Guild Wars 2. I would tend to agree with you, Tyler, that it, looking at it from the outside, I wasn't one of the people that was super, super hyped about it. And we played in one of the press weekends, mm-hmm. Which was kind of restricted to one zone. And at that point, I was kind of feeling the same way as you, like, okay, I could tell this is a really well done game, but it might not necessarily be my thing. But the thing I've discovered is that Guild Wars 2 gives me very few things I would have asked for, and then, like, just a whole armload of things I did not even realize that I wanted. Hmm. I mean, stuff even down to the fact that if you see a crafting node on the map and someone else is running at it at the same time, you can both get to it and harvest it. It doesn't become a race, you know? It's all these little things to just to ensure cooperation, and the cooperative, like, open world bosses are really cool. Yeah. I wish they would give you a little bit more loot, but like the fact that, you know, you get points towards having contributed to that boss fight for reviving other players. And I, as somebody who has never really gotten into PvP in an MMO, I mean, I think the last time was like Alterac Valley Classic back when it took 12 hours, like way back in World of Warcraft. I love the world versus world content. Like, it's the most fun I've ever had in MMO PvP. It's a concept that a lot of people have been trying to get right, and I think Guild Wars 2 has hit much closer to the mark than anyone ever has before. The kind of open world stuff that, you know, WoW tried with like Wintergrasp and Tol'Barad, and the Old Republic tried it with their Ilum Zone, and I think Guild Wars 2 is a definite step up from all of that.
Seems pretty similar to Warhammer Online.
I didn't actually get far enough in Warhammer Online to really see a lot of that, but yeah.
There was some good PvP in Warhammer.
Yeah, when you get some good guilds together that actually communicate and know what they're doing, like, okay, we're going to go take over this keep. It's really fun. Other than that, other than Guild Wars, I'm playing a Norn Warrior, by the way, which is the correct answer. The correct answer is Norn Warrior. All others are inferior. Sure.
Human Thief is pretty all right. I just throwing it out there.
Well, whatever.
I have a cool hood.
Yeah, whatever. Can you turn into a bear?
No.
Are you 9 feet tall?
No. I killed a few bears.
I do this like upside down helicopter.
Yeah,
thing.
Well, okay.
There you go.
You know.
Are you upside down helicopter? Huh?
Yeah, that's cooler than being 9 feet tall and turning into a bear. That's,
I can vanish into thin air and appear right next to you and stab you.
You're going to stab a 9 foot tall bear?
No
really?
Problem.
Really?
Well, that's you bring that up, but yeah, that's another thing that kind of takes me out of certain MMOs, that it's just like, really, my dagger does as much as like this guy's giant sword, and like it's all about how skilled I am that I do this much damage. Like, there's just no attempt at like correlating the numbers with what you see on the screen, and that's what.
Oh, your action's taken.
That's pretty serious.
It's been hitting on these.
But that's a totally normal RPG thing. But it strikes me as wrong.
Yeah.
Like, why am I fighting a bear? I would never fight a bear. That's the terrible
thing. And once somebody solves it, we'll look back and think, wait a minute, that was normal once, you know?
How silly that was that we thought that was normal, that we fought giant monsters with knives. I don't...
Yeah, so other than that, Walking Dead Episode 3, which we've already talked about, and Crusader Kings 2, of course, for my ongoing column, the first segment of which is now up on the website, the Crusader Kings Chronicle, where I am trying to unite medieval Ireland in the complex and amazing world that is Crusader Kings 2.
Quick, so incest count.
I have avoided incest so far. I've had some weird situations of like marrying much older men to much younger women, but so far I've been staying away from the incest.
Can you can you rename your like vassals and people in
No, you can name.
Oh, bummer.
You can name your. If you have the Ruler Creator DLC, you can rename your starting guy, and you always get the choice of naming your own children. See. So.
I see. I just wanted you to put me in there and marry me off to some.
I'll marry
some
one of my, like, non landed sons, Tyler, or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know what sucks is I used to have a standard name for all my characters in games, so I didn't have to think about it. I could just get in, you know, no matter what game it was, science fiction, fantasy. You know, RPG, it didn't matter. I would always name my character Duckworth.
Oh, I was going to guess it would be Logan Decker, which is a great science fiction fantasy name.
You're talking about an interesting science fiction.
Unfortunately, there's actually a woman named Tammy Duckworth.
I went to school with two kids named Chris and John Duckworth.
And she's a general. So I just, I thought that was somehow disrespectful. So
General
I stopped
Duckworth?
Using it.
But,
yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah, General Duckworth. Isn't it fantastic? But she's a now she's in I think she's a politician.
I just want to take a bath now with little toy duck. General Duckworth.
Yeah, I love that name, Duckworth. I don't even know where I first heard it, but it was easy. I would just plug in, Duckworth, you know, and it worked in every single game. But now I don't do that anymore.
No, you need a new standard name.
Yeah. Well,
we'll work on it.
Yeah. If you have submissions for a standard name for me, please do call them in.
Right. And you can call us at 1-877-404-137. Or if you're more keen to use the MP3 format, you can send those MP3s to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to keep them shorter, 30 seconds to a minute around there. And we might play them on the show if they're cool enough. So that's going to about do it for the PC Gamer Podcast this week. And we will catch you in the not so distant future.
Later, Gators.
Do-do-do-do.
Bye-bye.